Oh.
Pass. I'm very sorry I'm late. You know, I almost missed my chasna. Separate story for a separate time. And Shiva doesn't even know that story. A kapara for that one. Okay, here we go. Rishus, Rosh Shiva, Rishus, Berg.
I want to hear the wedding
story. We don't have 4 hours. Yeah, that was a bad one. Okay, but they didn't tell my wife until they told my wife. Oh God. Yeah, that was bad. Okay. I made it, Baruch Hashem. Okay. Okay, we're going to do like we always do. We're going to ask a couple questions. We got 3 questions. And then we are going to come out with that yisod. And I'm going to tell some stories, because as we all know, we remember stories. There was once a Rebbe here that gave the same Dvar Torah 10 days in a row. And then one day, the Talmud's like, Rebbe, you said that Dvar Torah yesterday. He's like, I've been saying this Dvar Torah for the past 10 days. Okay, whatever. I like that. It took like 12 minutes for that joke. Okay, fine. Okay, here we go. Question number 1. Torah tells us, again, we have Achremos, Kedoshim, 79 mitzvos. 79, the most in the Torah. Kitetze is 74. Aid, this week's Parsha, 79. Great time to start Shnayim Mikra. Never too late. But here we go. Question 1. Peres Yudches Pasuk Hei. Ushmartem et chukosai et mishposai asher yase osam adam v'chai bohem. And you shall live by them, says Rashi. What does it mean, v'chai bohem? Le'olam haba, in the world to come. Because if you're going to tell me it means ba'olam hazeh, v'alo sofo humeis, man is going to die. However, the Gemara in Yuma, Andaf Pehe, says that we know that v'chai b'hem means you should live by them. We know that we have 3 averas. We have 3 things that you're allowed to give up your life for, shvichus damim, gili arayas, and avodah zarah. But the rest of the mitzvos, it has to be v'chai b'hem. Question 1, asked Rav Schwab, is v'chai b'hem olam haba or olam hazeh? The Gemara seems to say that it's olam hazeh. Rashi cannot argue with the Gemara. Question 1. V'chai bohem. Is it olam haba or is it olam hazeh? Question 2. We know that right in the beginning in Parshas Kedoshim, it says, Ish imo v'aviv tira'u v'etshavsosai tishmoru ani Hashem Elokeichem. So Rashi says, right, that you have to fear your parents, and you have to fulfill Shabbos. Rashi brings down from the Gemara that if your parents tell you to violate Shabbos, so then you cannot listen to them. I'll tell you a geshmaka lumdis. First of all, the obvious question is, Rashi says that it's talking about all other things also. So the obvious question is, why specifically Shabbos? Rashi gives other examples. Well, why does the Torah specifically say Shabbos? I'll give you a geshmaka alumdus, a quick one, and then we'll get into the stories, but that's another question, not to duck. Right? So the lumdus is like this, is that the Drash V'Iyun says that we know in the Torah, it says, Meleches Machsheves Aser Torah. You need to do something creative. You need to do something of the Mishkan. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos Daf Memtes, you have to do something of the Mishkan. Right? If you want to have some great shiurim, Rosh Hashiva, my friends told me that they asked me still, I don't have so many friends, I like one, but maybe 2. Yeah, so 2? You're my friend, 3. And Reversho, 4, maybe. Okay, yeah, so my friends say they still remember the Rosh Hashiva's Shabbos shiur, right? Trying to kiss up to my boss, and it's not working. Okay, so, but, okay, Melecha, right? Melecha is Machsheves Aser Torah. But we know Melecha Shein Esricha Legufa. If you do something that's not for the actual thing itself, right? You go and you dig not to create something but to get the dirt. We know it's a Melecha Shein Esricha Legufa. Comes along the famous Maharik, and the Maharik says that if someone forces you to do something, a goy comes and says, violate Shabbos, that's a Melecha Shein Esricha Legufa. Says it drash be in. You know why specifically Shabbos? Alumdus. Because you might have said that when a parent tells you they force you to do something, it's a mlacha shein esricha legufa. And that might just be a din d'rabbanan. Maybe you should listen to your parents. Kamash balon. No, you have to obviously follow the will of the Rabbanan Shalom Lach, even if it might be a Lach Hashem Nesricha Legufa. Nice lumdus. Okay. But the deep question is why specifically Shabbos, when you could do, why specifically in the Torah Shabbos? The Gemara says other examples, but why specifically in the Torah Shabbos? Question three. We know the Torah tells us, V'hafta, one of the most famous psukim in the Torah, we know that it says in Perek Yutes, Pasuk Yutches, V'yahavta l'reacha kamocha ani Hashem, says Rashi, Omer Rabbi Akiva, ze klal gadol batorah. Right? Everyone knows, Yeshiva Boys Choir, right? I'm not going to start singing it, right? But, v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha, and Reberg last week, Reberg was speaking about, what do you mean? I don't get it. Rabbi Akiva's v'yahavta l'reacha kamocha. The Gemara says in Yevamo, Samach Beis, 24,000 Talmidim. What? They missed that shir klali? Like, what's going on here? Shalom nagu kabod zem zed. They didn't have kabod for one another? It doesn't make sense. Like, maybe it was someone else. This is their Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva. Their Rebbe. How did 24,000 students die? These weren't like stam people. These were the gedolim. What they had in their fingertips. Kennedys were the greatest people. It doesn't make sense. 24,000 people die? These are Gedolim. Question three. Okay, so let's just review. 1 second review. Right? When you have like a shear, and like you could just knock it off, that means you got it. If you can't, there's no middle games in Torah. If you got it, you don't. Right? So again, let's just review. Rashi says that we know that Chai Behem means... Rashi says Olam Haba, but we know that the Gemara in Yuma says that it's Olam Hazeh. So which one is it? Olam Haba or Olam Hazeh? Rashi can't argue with the Gemara. Two, et shavsosai tishmaru, fear your parents. Which one? Either, right? Why specifically the mitzvah of Shabbos? It could be anything in the Torah. So why are you doing that? And question three, the bomb question, is v'hafta l'reacha kamocha. How in the world did the Talmidim, right? This is Farshu, after Recha Kamocha. How in the world did the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva Shalonogu Kavod Zamza? So, what's the Yisod? So, obviously, it's all about the stories, right? I heard once from Moshe Weinberger that non-Jews, they fall asleep to stories. Jews wake up to stories. So, I always talk about a basketball story, but... I remember last year, it was the Shabbaton for Saks, so I told a basketball story, and see, I'm not going to tell a basketball story, but I still got in a basketball story, right? So I remember, I right, it's like, I'm not going to say, like, you're like, want to make fun of your friend, I'm like, I'm not going to say, you just said it, right? You said it. Like, I know you didn't say it, but you said it, you know? Like, don't pull that game. Okay, but, right, so I didn't tell a basketball story, but I alluded to a basketball story, and Saks came over to me afterwards, and he's like, I didn't know you're good at basketball. I'm like, Rebbe, you want to go one-on-one? So he didn't think that was funny, but I did. He happens to be a very good basketball player. Yeah, there was someone once told me that he was a high school Rebbe in MTA before he was a Rebbe in YU, before Yeshiva Landers, and someone was singing. It was in the elevator in Mus. I know you guys know YU in the MTA dorms. There's an elevator. He was in the elevator, and one guy was singing, "I want to be like Mike." He turns to the guy and he's like, "Stop dreaming." We could be like Michael. Okay. So here's the story. Okay? So they're new stories. So no one has ever heard them. Here we go. On Ben Ezmanim. It's always about Ben Ezmanim. And normally what we try to do on Ben Ezmanim, what I try to do on Ben Ezmanim, try to do an activity that's fun for the kids, except I don't want to spend any money, a little money. So, what I used to do is, I used to go on the escalator and go up and down. But my oldest kid is 16, and it doesn't work anymore. Even my two-year-old is like, "Tati, what are you doing?" I'm like, okay. So, we decided I was going to throw it down, a one-trip, throw it down. I'm going to go to Magic Kess, right? Magic Quest is a nice, beautiful theme park, a little inside. Again, it's Israel, so like when they do something like this, that's like a major theme park. So, but I was going to Magic, it happens to be a very nice park. It's really good. It's geschmack. It's not great adventure, but it's good. And I have to, as you all know, I went on the Fireball. I love roller coasters. Right? And Fox over here, he killed it. What's up? And Fox flew up in the air while everyone's recruiting and killing themselves for recruiting, right? Me, I'm flying up in the air, having a great time. Yeah, okay. So I have a lot of daughters, but one of my daughters, she's a great girl, but you know, scared of roller coasters. And she turned, true story, right? All my other stories aren't true. No, but true story, she's like, Katya, I really want to go on the roller coaster. So I'm like, okay, let's go. She's like, but I'm really scared. I'm like, yeah, I hear that. It's like, do you want to go with me? She's like, yeah, I want to go with you. So she's like, she's going on the roller coaster. I don't want to tell her that's the one that flips over like six times. There really is one that goes, I'm not joking, six times flips over. She's like, what does this roller coaster do, Tati? I'm like, nothing. She's like, nothing? I'm like, no, it goes up and maybe a little around. She's like, what happens if you fall out? I'm like, we're not going to be here anymore. That was really comforting. And she's like, I can't go on. I'm like, you can do it. And I'm like, you know how like we live through our kids? I'm like remembering when I was a little kid and I was at Sesame Place. I told the story before. And I was at Sesame Place and I didn't want to go. And I went on the line and I went the opposite, well, you know, going up. And I was almost there and I went down. And then I felt really bad because everyone's trying to get to the ride. I'm going down the ride. And well, obviously one of my siblings came over to me and was like, you cry, baby. Like kick them when they're down, right? So I felt really bad. And but I really wanted to do it, and I didn't do it. But guess what? Next year, I went to Great Adventure, and I went on my first roller coaster. That's why when I go on the Fireball, everyone thinks like I'm screaming, like whoa, what's going on here? I'm living the moment. I'm living the moment. Back when I was 10 years old, 30 years ago. But so I'm with my daughter, and she's scared. She's holding my hand. I don't want to tell her my thing actually moved a little bit. That would have been bad. So I'm we're going up. And she screamed, I'm telling you, flipped over. Look, I don't know if there, it was, I, look, it's a train. I don't look it on online. And it was flipping over, and she was screaming, like screaming at the top of her lungs. And then afterwards, I'm like, was it good? She's like, it was awesome. I'm like, really? She's like, she was so proud of herself. And when I saw that, and I'm like, wow, you know, to take challenges upon yourself. Again, something's totally out of your comfort zone, like crazy. Like you rather, right? Some people would rather die than speak in public. Some people would rather speak in public, right? So some people, everyone has different things that they want to do. So there's something totally out of your comfort zone, like crazy. But sometimes you have something that you want a little bit, but you're scared. My daughter went for it. And she still talks about the roller coaster. Still. When a person does something that's out of their comfort zone, not crazy, but they say, I could do it, I could accomplish anything, then life's awesome. You know, the things we remember most is when we had a difficulty and we took it upon ourselves and we went for it and we remember it the most. That's when we remember it the most. I remember when I was in a certain yeshiva, my first year, right? Baruch Hashem, so many yeshivas. Kines Seifim Tarbe Chachma, Baruch Hashem. And I remember I had a chavrusa. He was, you know, sometimes, tell me if this is true. A guy's like trying to prove that he's really smart. So he doesn't want to like sound like an idiot. Like, so what does he say? My chavrusa is the best guy in yeshiva. He really, really is trying to say like he's the best guy, but my chavrusa is the best guy. So really, my chavrusa was the best guy in shir. He was like one of those like 1600 SAT Penn scholarship. You'll be a professor. He was a genius. And he was really smart. I don't know why, what kind of chesed points he got for learning with me, seriously, right? So I wasn't trying to say, right, I just put the joke on myself, right? So, but no, he really is a superstar. And I'll be honest, I was really jealous of him. He was the guy that asked the bomb question. He was my chavrusa, but I was still really jealous of him. And, right, the Gemara says that the only thing that we're not jealous about is who? Our children and our talmidim. Because why? That's an extension of us. When our children do great things, we're so proud. When our talmidim, all you guys are going to become Gedolei Yisrael, right? You're going to become Talmidei Chachamim, Gvirim, don't forget about your Rabbeim. Don't forget about the Mishkiah. Don't forget about the Shiva. Don't forget about the Maser. Right? When you become your Gvirim and Talmidei Chachamim, don't forget. Right? So we have great, but we're never jealous. You're never jealous of the Talmud. But again, there's Kinnis Seifim Tarba Chachma. When you see that guy and he's doing great, you're like, I could do that. That's why whenever there's always people that have like doubts if they should make a seum or not. Go for it. Oh, I don't really. No, no. Go for it. Because Kinnis Seifim Tarba Chachma. They'll be like, that guy made a seum? Really? No. But so, no, really, go for it. Go for it. Because when you make that seum, it makes other people want to learn more. Why not? Right? When you hear a great thing, right? What Berg was speaking about last week, that he was at a Levaya. I paid a Shiva call there. All they were talking about, again, a very successful doctor. He was my friend. I grew up in that house in Edison, New Jersey. Right? Hananya's grandfather, right? So he all he did was live the Torah. He was a successful doctor. He was tremendous. But he lived the Torah. Because when you hear that, it's unbelievable. So I was in Chalavim, right? And I always felt bad about myself. And I was very close to Dr. Shivanel, Rav Yamer. I had a chavrusa and a shkuf with him once a week. And I told him, I was honest with him. And I said, Rabbi, like, I love learning with this guy, but like, I don't know, he opens the Gemara, he's probably cheating, he's looking at art school the night before. He just like gets it. He just like gets it so quick. And it's not making me feel bad, but like, I feel like I'm not even involved. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said that, you know, everyone has obviously different kolchos, everyone's different. But if you push, you really try, like we're talking about like my daughter, it was hard, but she tried. If you really, really try, there's going to be that moment that the Rabbonu Shalom is going to come down, and it's just going to happen. And I remember exactly where I was sitting. Again, I think they have a new base medrash now. I remember exactly, we were learning Maseches Kiddushin, and like, there was something wrong with the pshat in a Tosvos. I don't remember totally. Yeah, but there was something wrong with like something was off. And I'm not the guy that asks questions. I'm like quiet with this type of stuff. And I asked a question in Shir. And like, I was maybe a little afraid that like it was going to be like a stupid question. I wasn't sure. And the Rav Yamer is like, I don't know if he was making it up because I told him the story. No, but he's like, that's really Tosvos' question. And I felt so good because it was out of my comfort zone. And there was this click. I was pushing, 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 pushing. And I didn't think I could do it. And I just went for it. And Baruch Hashem, Hashem gave me Siyata Dishmaya in that moment. And I remember that moment. That was a big moment for me. And that helped me a lot. You know, even when I had hard times in different places, I remember that moment. So if a person pushes themselves, let's answer question number one. Steer in Rashi, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba? No, it's not a stira. Because if you live in this world for a purpose, and you live in this world that you're going to accomplish, and you live in this world that I'm going to steig the Torah, I'm going to do Chesed, which we'll talk about in a second. I'm going to do all these things, but I'm doing it L'Shem Shamayim. So then you're living in Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba. It's unbelievable. You're living in Olam Haba Dika life. It's unbelievable. You know, they say Rav Shach, first of all, Rav Shach, if you go into Eisha Torah, the great Rav Shach, who was the Gogol Ador in Bnei Brak, if you go into Eisha Torah, you see a big picture of Rav Shach. Listen to what Rav Shach said. And the question is, why Eisha Torah? Rav Shach once came into Eisha Torah. Noach Weinberg brought him in. And Rav Shach said, if one man could kill 6 million, one man could save 6 million. If one man could kill 6 million, one man could save 6 million. And they put a picture of Rav Shach when you first walk into Eisha Torah. Because if you live, but Rav Shach said even something, he said awesome, something amazing, famous statement. He said, listen, maybe my Olam Haba is going to be less than the people that donate yeshivas, that give stucco, that help people that are really in need. Maybe their Olam Haba is going to be greater than mine. I don't know. But all I know is that my Olam Haza is so much more geschmack for myself than them. Because when I'm learning the Torah and I'm going and I'm working hard and I believe in myself, right? The Marsha says, what's such a great level? We know Ben Adam Lamakum, Ben Adam Lechaver, says the Marsha in Brachos, Ben Adam Leatzmo. How much can I believe in myself? How much can I accomplish? Amazing. I'll tell you a quick story about believing, not giving up. Right? How much time do I have, Rashid? 79 mitzvos? How much time? 10 minutes? 15? 20? 30? Okay. First of all, Rosh Hashiva, can I tell a shot? I don't know if what I'm saying. He's always smiling, right? When Rebirth's giving his awesome shiur, and Ben, he's always smiling when someone else is giving a shiur. I don't want to chas v'shalom embarrass Rosh Hashiva, but he's always smiling when someone's giving a shiur, and like maybe a good shiur, maybe a bad shiur. He's always smiling. Why? Because he's proud. Because we're all one family. Right, we're all one family, because it's like that children type of thing, right? He's proud. He's proud because look at this yeshiva. It keeps on growing. And the quality keeps on going up. Oh, Hashem. Right? Because it's all one family. So I'll tell you a great story, but I don't have a lot of stories. But obviously, you got to pick and choose. So I wanted to take this midah of not being afraid. And my daughter, she's 16. I got this letter in the mail that she has a big thingy in, she has to go to the army, to not go to the army. She has to go to the Gius to make sure that she won't go to the army. Again, the army is an amazing thing, right? But everyone teach their own. I'm not going to get political here. But the army's great, but my 16-year-old daughter, so the rule is that you have to get a tutzahut, or you could have a valid passport. And I don't have a tutzahut, because she just turned 16, and I don't have a valid passport. And all of a sudden, I get this thing in the mail that she has a meeting, I think, July 16th. So I'm like calling Misrad HaPanim, right, the Israeli municipality. And I'm calling. It's like impossible to get an appointment. We all know if you have like an expired passport, you have to like do, like make yourself crazy before the flight. And I'm trying to get through. I have a couple months. And they tell me the first appointment is August 23rd. And I'm like, what do you mean? I need to get this. So like, sorry. So I'm like, come on, please. I hang up. It's always about that lady who you get, right? So I hang up, and then I get a nice lady. So I'm like, please help me. I need to get this appointment. She says to me, okay, I'll give you an appointment at the end of June. I said, I know, but it takes a couple weeks to get there. Like, I don't know. Like, you know, June, that's not now. It's later. So I said, I need an appointment. She said, nothing's earlier. So Erev Pesach decided that I'm going to go to the Misrad HaPanim. I'm going to go. Yeah, it's Erev Pesach. Who's there at Erev Pesach? I get there at 10:30. No lines. I walk right in. They're like, "What? Do you have an appointment?" I'm like, "I want one." So they're like, "What are you here for?" I'm like, "Tutzahut. It's really dachuf. I need this appointment." They're like, "Go up to the second floor. Go to the second floor. See what you know. Ask them." So I went to the second floor, and you know, you always have to find that right person. The Siyata Dishmaya that Hashem will help you find that right person, and I found the right person. She gave her an appointment. Unbelievable. Hashem, thank you. But then while I'm with this lady, I said, you know, I'm looking through the passports. I don't have, I don't know. Can I file a passport for my son? He's not, like, what am I supposed to do? She's like, you never made a passport for your 2-year-old son. I'm like, oh my gosh, Corona. She's like, you know, it's really important to get that passport, to your son not to have a passport. So I'm like, okay. All of a sudden, I have a great idea. All my kids' passports are expired. I'm taking family trip, free trip. It's not free because they cost so much passports, cheaper than America. Family, we're going to Misrad HaPanim next day. Whole family, we're going to Misrad HaPanim. Okay? So we're going in. All my kids' passports, literally every single one is expired. So we're going in. Okay? So get to the same young ladies. They're like, you all of you? I'm like, maybe. They're like, okay, go to the second floor. I'm like, okay. So I go to the second floor. I found the same lady from yesterday. I thought she was going to remember me. She didn't. Thank God. And she's like, okay, listen, my son, Corona, I need a passport. I need a passport for him. She's like, okay. But I'm like, all my others. She's like, how many kids do you have? I'm like, me and my wife also need it. She's like, how many other kids need it? So my daughter got it yesterday. I don't want to tell her that. So I'm like, wait, how many kids do I have? One. Not that one. Son, you're allowing. Oh, okay. I need another 5. And me and my wife, 7. 7 more appointments. She's like, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Like, you're asking for one appointment? And now you're going to try to get 7? 9? Sorry, 9 appointments? And I'm like, okay. So she's like, I'll give you 1. I'm like, that's so nice. Thank you. She's like, yeah, but you know, you can ask the lady at the when you're she's doing the appointments. So I'm like, okay. So I'm at the lady, we're waiting. It's not such a long line, it's Erev Pesach. I'm waiting. So the lady's like, how many appointments do you have here? I'm like, I have 1, but can I have more? She's like, are you crazy? 9 extra appointments? Really? You're nuts. I'm like, yeah, listen, Koach HaRotzon, I can do it. She's like, yeah, Koach HaRotzon, yeah, right, we'll see, right? So she's like, you know what? I'm gonna send a text to the head of Misrata Panim, and if he allows it, allow it. So like, what's the chances of one of the heads of Misrata Panim allowing 9 extra appointments? So she does. She's like, no way. I'm like, come on, I'll give you one extra. So I'll give you 2. I'm like, okay, not bad. So I get in the second person. We're doing the pictures. All of a sudden, true story, the computers go down. She's like, I don't know, the computers go down. And all of a sudden, the head of Misrata Panim, one of the heads, comes by. So she turns to him and said, oh, I sent you a text. He's like, yeah, I know. I blue checked you. No, so she's like, you know, this person is from Givat Zev. He wants to have a couple more, you know, can he? He looks at me and he's like, yes. I'm like, really? Wow. My mother's like, don't tell that story to anyone. That's crazy Ayin Hara story, right? So yeah, but it was crazy because it showed the Koach HaRotzon, and I wanted it so badly. And if we could apply it to getting a passport, we could apply it to anything in life. The more we want something, the more we could do it, the greater it's going to be. I could turn my Olam Hazeh into an Olam Haba. But the question is what are my priorities? What is important to me? Right? Stephen Covey, great book. Shiva loves this book. He says, what's my mission statement? What am I here for? What am I here for? What am I living for? Really? Do I believe in myself? Right? I had a Ben Ezmanim, and it was okay. It was okay, but it was tough. But when you came back, and now you're on fire, but now, like, we're getting towards the middle of the short Zman, do I get myself and say, I could do it? Can I focus a little better? Can I do a little more? Can I do it? Can I believe in myself? And that's the level of Ben Adam La'atzmo. But it goes a little further. It goes a little further. Let's answer the question about Rabbi Akiva. Right, Reberg, famous question. He spoke about it last week. The beautiful. Right? Give a shout out to Nitzotzos. Every week I read it. It's unbelievable. Okay? So, how did Rabbi Akiva, how did Rabbi Akiva's students messed up? How does that make sense? So there's a couple of answers. Everyone talks about this question. It's an obvious question. So I saw in Rav Asher Weiss's Sefer, it's beautiful. He says that, you know what happened? These were the people passing on the Mesorah. So when you have something a little off, right? He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Kuf Chav Aleph, that chut atzar, tzaddikim are judged, and again, we don't fully understand this, but tzaddikim are judged, the littlest thing, right? Moshe Rabbeinu, our greatest leader, wasn't able to get into Eretz Yisrael, right? The littlest things, they're judged by. So, in order to create the Mesorah, he needed perfection. So the Gemara tells us that he had 5 great students, right? He had Rav Meir, he had Rav Yehuda, he had Rav Shimon, right? He had all these great students. And he had 2 others, I just don't remember them. Yeah, so he had these 5 great, great people that were able to carry on the Mesorah. And they were able to create it. So because of that, I get this answer, but it's still hard to swallow. It's still a hard one. But it's amazing. He quotes, quotes all of Shas, going throughout all of Shas, quoting the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Mem Gimel, that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Noach la'adam, it's better for a person to throw himself into Kivshan Ha'esh to embarrass, right? Ba'al Yabim Pnei Chavero, he quotes a Shir HaShirim, right? Beis Tesvav, that if you greet your friend nicely, it's as if the Shekhinah is there. And these were all his Talmidim. And it's a great answer, but it's hard. I heard another amazing answer. I saw it in Rav Chatzko Levinstein with Mashkichom Panovich. It's a beautiful Or Yechesko, he was fire. And he says something amazing. He says, when you want to give something to someone, sometimes we want to give something to someone what we think. But imagine if you could get out of yourself, and it's the hardest thing to get out of yourself sometimes, and look to the other person what they need. If you give someone what they need, right? Any relationship, and it's hard, right? Especially, right? It's hard. We're focused on ourselves. It's hard. It's hard for everyone, right? It's hard. But the more you could just get out of yourself and just give to what they need, not what I think they need, what they need, And says in Chatzkul that these great Gedolim learned up what they need. I don't need COVID. Everyone, right? The Mishnah Perkei Avos says you run away from COVID. So these are great Gedolim. They don't need COVID. So maybe they didn't, right? Maybe they didn't need COVID. But you always have to show COVID to someone. COVID atayra. So they took what they thought, what I don't need COVID, and then they put it onto someone else. And that's great. Again, maybe it's a little more understandable, but it's so... We live lives this way. Do we do things for other people? Do we look what they need? Do we care? Do we look what another person needs? Because we could do such great things. You know, it's an amazing, I do this all the time, right? You see someone, and you're in a rush, right? And you're walking, and I hear we're all busy, we're all learning and doing a lot of things, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus, and I'm walking, and a guy sees me, and he's like, Rebbe, how are you? And I'm like, oh, I'm great. How are you? Imagine, again, you can't like, what? I just asked you, how are you? And like, stop for 20 seconds. Get out of yourself for 20 seconds. And stop and say, hi, how are you? How's your day? We're not doing it like 20 minutes. We're talking about 10 seconds. And you could change a person. 10 seconds, stop. And again, you're not going to change overnight. Right, you might do it, you don't realize. Try two times to do that. Get out of yourself. You know, you're carrying a chair and you can carry two. Get out of yourself. You're getting yourself a cup of water. And now you can get two. And I'm not just saying this because I was a water boy in TBC. I didn't want to be, but I was. Right? So I'm not just saying this. Oh, Rabloom wants a lot of water, right? So no, I don't need water. I'm just saying, think of the other person. You have the ability. You go to a restaurant and you see you have a great food and you spend money. Do you clean up after? That's not my job. It's a waiter's job. What? Really? You know how stressed this waiter is? Running from table to table and you can't go and pick something up? What is that? Get out of yourself. We want to do a kapara for Rabbi Akiva's students? And these were the gedolim, gedolim. We don't understand it fully. But get out of yourself. And that's Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. And I think Ben Adam L'Chaveiro and Ben Adam L'Makom is so intertwined. It's so, as Berg spoke about last week, the idea of Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, because the more we get out of ourselves with Torah, it's not how I feel, but it's what Hashem wants. Guess what? When you're going to be parents, not always do you want to do things. Your kid throws up at 2:30 in the morning. I don't want to do it. Okay, tell your wife. Right? So what do you mean? You know what? You got to do that. They're your kids, and Hashem says you got to again. I want you to have the relationship with me, as the Kupsker says. Where is Hashem? Wherever you bring him into, he wants Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro is Hainu Hach. It's the same thing. And you bring it in. You know, one time I was speaking, right? I was speaking in Rechavia. I happened to be friends with Ravitio Golvich. He worked out that I was able to speak in Ribero Wan Shul. So my parents, they made Aliyah, they're here half the year, they dominate in that shul. So I was speaking in the shul, and it's a very elderly shul. Like, my father's in his young 70s, he's in his young 70s there, you know what I'm saying? Like it's a very, right? It's two amazing things happened. Two amazing things after I gave this year. First of all, I asked this question. I think I was talking about this topic. And I asked this question. A guy raises his hand. I'm like, there's no one. You're not supposed to participate. But he raises his hand. And he's like, I think that Rabbi Akiva said, V'hafta l'recha kamocha, after his students died. So I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Right? Maybe, I don't know. You have to look at Jewish history. I don't know. Right? So after this year, right? Whenever I'm trying to, right? Some people came over to me after this year. I saw two amazing things. I'll tell you two amazing things that happened. There was two ladies. One lady was like telling me some story about my like great uncle who set up a shidduch. I don't even know what she was talking about. And then all of a sudden, that lady, who must have been in her 80s, cut off that lady. The lady's like, you just cut me off? I'm like, wow, I thought at like age 80 you might maybe like mature a little bit. I'm like, whoa, this is nuts. Right? She's like, you didn't cut me off. I'm like, oh my God, okay. Okay, I'm going to listen to your story. And then another, the man that asked the question comes over to me. And he says something amazing. He says to me, he says, do you know, you said to the crowd, you're a Rebbe in America in yeshiva. I want you to tell me then the following. Tell me they're the luckiest people in the world. I'm like, yeah, they're so lucky, able to learn Torah. It's amazing. Mitzvos, and gross themselves, and Kedushin Eretz Yisrael. It's amazing. He's like, yeah, very nice. I'll tell you why it's amazing that they're in Eretz, that they're, what they're doing. I am 79 years old. I'm not changing one thing about myself. I'm stuck. Hashem Jagimi Ameda Esrim. Your students are 18, 19, 20. They're building their lives. They're deciding what they want in life. They're going to decide who they're going to marry in a couple of years. I hope. Not now. Right? So they're deciding who they are going to be. They're not stuck yet. They are so lucky. Because we all have this Ben Adam Lemakom and Ben Adam Lechavero V'chai Bohem. Why specifically Shabbos? Why specifically Shabbos and Kibbutz Avim? Because Kibbutz Avim is parents, Hakaris HaTov, and that's the Ben Adam Lechavero, Ben Adam Lemakom. That's why it's in the fifth one. It's a Rambam in Peah, and it's the fifth one. And that's why it's Ben Adam Lemakom, and Shabbos is the pinnacle of Ben Adam Lemakom ages. You know, like after davening, you have to say Vayichulu, Machloges Meshabur and Chazanish, do you need two people or one? You're saying Eidos. Because that's Ben Adam Lemakom, Ben Adam Lechavero, and we're putting it together. We're putting it together as one. So let's just make sure we have all those questions. Sometimes I like don't answer all the questions. And then we'll end with one story. I'm sorry I went over time. Yeah, but did I go over time issue? Yes. Okay. Sorry. So let's just make quickly. Right? Steer and Rashi. Rashi, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, which one is it? We said it's both. When you live Olam Hazeh with Torah, with Chesed, caring about the other, you're living out of yourself. You're living Olam Hazeh, but you're really living Olam Haba, Dika life. The Talmidim, whether it's because of the Mesorah, or it's because the Talmidim, maybe they did what they thought, but you got to get out of yourself. You could give something, you could stop and say hello. You could clean up after yourself. You could do so many things to think out of yourself. And we said, why? At Shavsosai, Tishmaru, and to fear. Why? Because Shabbos is Ben Adam Lemakom. And parents is Ben Adam Lemakom or Lechavero. Because you got to say thank you. And we have to say thank you to Hashem more. We have to be more appreciative. We have to realize we're in Eretz Yisrael. We're in Eretz Yisrael. We're growing. We're building. It's amazing. Rabbeim. So many people, Rosh Yeshiva, Mashkiach, so many people that care about you. But we have to turn to the Rabbono Shalom and say, thank you. Great story. Let's end with this. Ezer Mitzion does tremendous work, saving so many people's lives, different areas. If you know this story, it's a great story. It's a Chazara. Ezer Mitzion saves so many people, and it's a major organization. And again, there's a lot of people donating money, giving. There was one time that the head of Ezer Mitzion was meeting with a very wealthy person who's given a lot. And they were schmoozing, and he was talking about all the different things and the programs and all the different things. And they said, you know what? Let's go to the Kaisel. Let's go. You know, let's go. Let's go daven. You know, people financially should be okay. Health-wise, which is more important. They're both important, but health, without health, you have nothing. Right? So let's go daven. Let's go. They go to the Kaisel late at night, and there's this guy bawling, crying, bawling, like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And they turn to this guy. They turn to themselves before they turn to this guy, and they say, listen, I have the best medical. We can do anything for him medically, and you have all the money. Let's make a deal right now. If he's going through a medical crisis, Ezer Mitzion, you got it. If he's going through a financial crisis, the Gvir says, I got it. So they went over to the man, and they said, we see that you're so crying so much, and we're here, I'm a head of an organization, I could help you, can we help you? And he said, I'm not crying out of sadness, I'm crying to the Rabbono Shel. He said, what do you mean crying to Hashem? He's like, I just married off my 12th kid, and I'm crying to Hashem how much he's given me.
12th kid I just married off. The chesed of the Ribbono Shalom. And I'm crying to him out of Hakaras HaTov. Not just thank you, but really being moded, admitting, Hashem, I'm nothing without you. We need to realize that we have the ability for greatness. Ben Adam L'Atzmo. We got to build ourselves. We have to believe in ourselves. You have Rabbein that believe in you. You have to believe in yourselves. Ben Adam L'Makom. Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. Get out of yourself. The more you get out of yourself, the greater your life's going to be. Everyone have an awesome, awesome day of learning right now.